Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 15, verses 22 and 23. 1 Samuel 15, 22 and 23. We're going to talk about the subject, the spirit of obedience. The Bible says, and Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices and in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king." You know, great men of God have had a spirit of obedience in their lives, such as Noah. Noah obeyed God. Look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. We see the writer told us that by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness, which is by faith, the writer said. Then Abraham obeyed God. Look at the next verse of Hebrews 11. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should not after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whether he went. He didn't know where he was going, but he had faith in God. He had faith that God would show him the place where God wanted him to go. And he obeyed and he went out and he knew that he could trust God. There was a author named Richard J. Foster wrote a book entitled Money, Sex, and Power. And in that book, he closes out the book with a chapter on call to obedience, as a way that men today can be obedient unto God. And God demands obedience from us. He doesn't ask, he demands obedience from us for our lives to be pleasing unto him. While there is in the Bible the challenge of obedience, there is in our world that we live in tonight a challenge equally to obedience in our world. You know, our permissive society rejects the idea of obedience because they say the abuse of freedom causes some to reject obedience. Others say and teach that obedience is legalism, that you're trying to tell them what to do. But what is obedience? Let's ask the question. What is obedience? Obedience is simply a spirit or an attitude which one possesses. You're going to possess the spirit of obedience to do what the Lord says, or you're going to possess the spirit of rejection and not do what the Lord says. Obedience to God is based upon faith. We looked at verse 8 of Hebrews 11. It said, the verse says, by faith, Abraham. And all through that chapter it says, by faith, by faith, by faith. This individual, that individual, and etc. Obedience is motivated by love. Obedience is motivated by love. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3. The apostle of love wrote in his first epistle, 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3. He says, "For this is the love of God." He defines what the love of God is. That we keep his commandments. Simple, isn't it? The love of God is we keep his commandments. And he goes on to say, and his commandments are not grievous. In other words, he's not going to ask us something that we cannot do in our lives. So, we see obedience is motivated by love. And obedience is based upon our faith. But what is the opposite of obedience? The opposite of obedience is rebellion and stubbornness. As we looked at verse 23 of 1 Samuel 15, It says, for rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness as iniquity and idolatry, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected thee for being king. And that's what Samuel told Saul, because he had left God. He had left God, and he was disobedient to God. So tonight we're going to learn some lessons about obedience from Saul's disobedience. From Saul's disobedience. Number one, I want to suggest unto you, partial obedience is disobedience. Partial obedience is disobedience. Now look at 1 Samuel chapter 15. We're going to work ourselves through the chapter here tonight. Let's look at verses 9 through 11. 15, 9 through 11. But Saul and the people spared Agag, and the best of the sheep, and of the oxen, and of the fatlings, and of the lambs, and all that was good, and would not have utterly destroyed them. But everything that was vile and refused, they utterly destroyed. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, it repented me that I set Saul up to be king, for he has turned back from following me, and hath not performed my commandments, and is grieved Samuel, and he grieved Samuel and cried unto the Lord all night. We see the exceptions to God's instructions were made by human judgment in this case. Because in verse 9 of that passage of Scripture, it said that, but Saul and the people spared Agag, and the best of the sheep, and of the oxen, and of the fatlings, and of the lambs, and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them. And God told him to destroy everything, didn't he? But he didn't do it. He did not do it. So we say partial obedience is disobedience. Let's think about this. Here's an illustration. Businessman goes on an extended European holiday. And he tells his son to open 3 stores. He says, I want you to open one in Nashville, Tennessee. I want you to open one in Birmingham, Alabama. And I want you to open one in Atlanta, Georgia. Simple request, isn't it? 3 stores. Well, the sons open one in Nashville, Tennessee. They open another store in Birmingham, Alabama, and they open another store in Memphis, Tennessee. Now, what's wrong with that? The first one was right, Nashville, Tennessee. The second one was right, Birmingham, Alabama. He specifically told them to open up a store in Atlanta, Georgia, and they opened up a store in Memphis, Tennessee. Did they do what the Father said? No. They partially did, but not altogether. So they did. Did they obey? No. Partial obedience with them is still not obedience. But we see the source of Saul's disobedience in this case. And it's one word. It's pride. Pride that Saul had. Because let's look at chapter 15. As I say, we're going to work through this chapter. 17 through 19. Now let's drop down to verse 17. And then Samuel said, when thou was little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. And then Samuel said, wherefore thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but thou didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord. Samuel said, you did evil in the sight of the Lord, because you didn't obey God completely, only partially. Let's apply that today. One believes the gospel, he repents of his sins, he confesses Christ, but then he refuses to be baptized. Is he obeying the gospel? No. One obeys the gospel. He lives a morally upright life. But he refused to attend worship services of the local congregation. Is that person obeying God totally? No. That's partial obedience, isn't it? But that's not total obedience. So we see partial obedience is still disobedience before God. Number two, noble aims do not nullify necessity of obedience. Noble aims do not nullify necessity of obedience. It's not what you intend to do, it's what you do. Let's look at our text, 1 Samuel 15. Let's look at verse 15. Verse 15 says, "And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice to the Lord thy God, and the rest we've utterly destroyed." That's what Saul said. Now let's look at verse 21. It said, the text says, "But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, and chief of the things which they have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice in the Lord thy God in Gilgal." You know, looking at these two verses, isn't sacrifice to God a worthy aim? Yeah, it's a worthy aim. But to obey is better. To obey God is a lot better than, because sacrifice is an external thing that one does. Whereas obedience is what? Obedience is a spirit or attitude one possesses in his or her heart to God. How much today is based upon Saul's approach to religion? Let's look and see what people do today. People raise money by gambling in the church. They have bingo games, and they raise money by gambling. They use mechanical instruments of music in worship services which God does not authorize and never will authorize. And we see people, quote, use religion, unquote, to try to say we're serving God when they're not serving God. They have noble aims, but still do not nullify necessity of obedience. Obedience is still primary. Obedience to God, obedience to His Word, and obedience to what we need to do in our lives. Number three, necessity of obedience. God doesn't ask, He requires obedience. The necessity of obedience. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verses 22 and 23. We've already looked at that in our text. Samuel had said, "The Lord has had great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of the Lord. But Samuel also said to obey is better than sacrifice." And he says, "And hearken to the fat of rams." He says, "Rebellion is like the sin of witchcraft," he says. "And stubbornness is like iniquity and idolatry, because you turn your back upon God." He says, "You rejected the word of the Lord." He said, "The Lord has also rejected you from being king of Israel." At that point, God terminated Saul from being king of Israel because he disobeyed God. All in this assembly tonight, are you obeying God? Or is Jesus going to reject you at judgment? And because you didn't obey God. Because obedience is better than sacrifice, said the scriptures, said Samuel. And we see there's necessity of obedience. Jesus even emphasized this in his practice, in his sermons, in his dealing with people upon the earth. For example, in John chapter 6 and verse 38, Jesus said, "For I came down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me." Who was that sent him? God, his Father. He said, "I came down to do the Father's will." You know, tonight we're here on the earth to do the Father's will, like Jesus was. And Jesus was obedient to God in every aspect of his life. Jesus went about doing good. He did all those things that pleased him, as the book of John tells us. For he was obedient to his heavenly Father. He was even obedient unto death. In Hebrews 5, 8 and 9, the writer would tell us about Jesus. "Though he was son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him." Jesus was the Son of God. He learned obedience by suffering. But he was perfect. No sin. No guile was found in his mouth. Now he's become the author of your salvation and my salvation, right? He says, "Unto all that obey him." The word "obey" keeps showing up. Obey him. Obey Jesus. Obey God. And then in his practice, and not only his practice, his proclamation of his message, that said that it was necessary for people to obey God. Such as he said in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 and 22. He would say, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name done many wonderful works. In thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works." And he's going to say, "I'm going to say unto you, depart from me, I don't even know you." Why? You didn't do the will of God. Some people just did. Partial obedience is not total obedience. And then look at Luke chapter 6 and verse 46. Jesus would say to those people on that occasion, "Why call me Lord, Lord, and then not the things which I say?" He said, don't recognize my authority and do not do what I say. And therefore we must recognize the necessity of obedience in being saved from our sins. Look with me to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. And Peter talks about obeying the truth. He says, "Seeing you purified your souls in obeying the truth of the Spirit and the unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is the grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which is by the gospel is preached unto you," said Peter. So we're saved from sin when we see the necessity of obedience. And then we have to keep saved. We have to keep our souls saved before God on a daily basis. Look at Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 through 14. We see the writer Paul will tell the brethren of Philippi. He says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh unto you to do both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings," Paul said. So he wants us to keep saved. He wants us to have the spirit that we want to be saved. Note the spirit of obedience in that chapter. Verse 15. Let's go down to verse 15 now. that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. He says, you shine as lights in the world because you obey God. That's what your focus is in life. And in verse 16, note the necessity of obedience in verse 16 of that chapter. Holding forth the word of life that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. He said, you hold the word of God and you obey it and you share it with others that you can rejoice at the end of time, that you know that your race on the earth spiritually hasn't been in vain and your labor's not been in vain and you've helped people to be saved with you. And then in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 14, Peter called Christians obedient children. And that's what God wants us to do tonight. We'll be obedient children. You know, Jesus learned obedience by the things which he suffered, as we looked at in Hebrews 5, 89. But it cost him his life, though. It cost him his life. They buried him in a tomb. But on the third day he rose from the dead that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, the Bible says. We must learn to pay the price to obey. There's a price we have to pay in this life. You know, the Old Testament scriptures teach us about events like Saul, the event of Saul, and then what Samuel said to Saul. Because in Romans chapter 15 and verse 4, Paul says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Hope is expectation of heaven to come. We should have patience and steadfastness in obedience unto God. We should have comfort from doing God's will. We should have hope from the spirit of obedience and expect to go to heaven. Now hope, now I wish, but you expect to go to heaven. And you do that by doing the first two, patience and steadfastness and obedience, and then comfort from doing God's will. The spirit of obedience is summed up as this. It is a spirit of trust, it is a spirit of love, and it's a spirit of respect unto God. Do you have the spirit of obedience tonight? Is your obedience such tonight that you can say, if Jesus would come and you stand before him in judgment, I know that I am saved. I know I have the patience and steadfastness and obedience. I know I had the comfort from doing your will, Lord, and I know that I'm going to be saved. Do you know you're going to be saved if Jesus comes tonight? If you have any doubt, you need to remove that doubt tonight. Everybody in this assembly is a member of the church. So if you know you sin and you have issues between you and God, you sin in a public way, you need to repent in a public way. You need to come forward, repent of your sins. Pray, we'll pray with you that God will remove these sins from your soul, that your soul will be white in the blood of the Lamb as you leave this building tonight. Because don't leave this building if you do not have the spirit of obedience. If you have a doubt and you need to respond to the invitation, as Jim leads us in this invitation song, we encourage you to come now as we stand and sing.